Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. The world around us is what we know through our human senses. And for those of us who are called, we have hope for a new heaven and a new earth, a place where there will be no more tears or sorrow. The world in which we live is a world of good and evil. Where there is good, there is great rejoicing, and where there is evil, there is great sorrow. Standing between us in this incredible time of future happiness, where there will be no more tears or sorrow, is something we call life, a very human life that has been given to each of us. There is nothing we can do to shake away the mortality that comes with our human existence, and yet for us to be part of this future time of happiness, we must be given eternal life. The concept of living forever has been around for a long time. Some say Ponce de Leon sought the Fountain of Youth in Florida, and the legend of the Fountain of Youth lives to this day, as does the desire for a long time. But if we live forever in the human body, we will not be part of this future new heaven and new earth, as we must first be born of the water and spirit to be in this future place of happiness. The Jews of Jesus' time had difficulty following what he was teaching. With the scribes and Pharisees controlling the religious discussion of the time, the message of Jesus must have seemed brash and starkly different, even though many knew Jesus was a man of God because of the many miracles that were done. One such Pharisee who was very influential was Nicodemus, who couldn't grasp the concept of being born again and the need to be born again to see the kingdom of God. In Nicodemus' mind, all he could grasp was being born a second time of a human mother. Jesus taught him that the birth he was speaking of was a birth of water and the Spirit. He showed a distinction between human and spiritual birth. He also showed how a person born of the Spirit is like the wind, where you can sense its presence, but not really know much about it like we might know about something we can see with our eyes. John 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Jesus then foreshadowed his death, which would be necessary to bring the opportunity for eternal life to mankind, explaining that he would need to be lifted up, just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. When Jesus would be later lifted up, it was through crucifixion. Through Jesus, light was brought to the world. And the light that Jesus brought was so foreign to people, they preferred the darkness because they knew the darkness would hide their evil deeds. Those who come to the light are called by God, and the deeds of those who are called are done in the light of God and made possible by the calling that comes through God the Father. Verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The way to eternity was frequently mentioned by Jesus during his earthly ministry. He used different examples of what was needed for eternal life. Matthew 25 is one of those chapters that provides three explanations of eternal life. First, Jesus compared eternal life in the kingdom of God to 10 young women who took their lamps to meet the groom. 5 of these were wise and 5 were foolish. The wise took enough oil with them so that their lamps would be able to give light during the night. And the foolish took no oil with them, and their lamps quickly lost light. The foolish sought oil from the wise, but the wise declined because there might not be enough oil for them. The wise young women made it to the marriage supper, and the 5 foolish were left outside. This example shows we must always be ready for the return of Jesus Christ and the gift of eternal life that will come at that time. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Next, Jesus compared eternal life in the kingdom of God to workers of a rich man who went away to a far country. Before leaving, this rich man distributed talents among his workers. One received 5, another received 2, and a third received only 1 talent. The worker who received the 5 talents completed a series of business deals and doubled the talents he was given. The worker who was given 2 talents also doubled their talents. The worker who received only 1 talent was afraid to lose what they were given, and instead of trying to double that talent, simply stored it away for safekeeping. When the rich man returned, he was pleased with those workers who doubled what they had been given, and displeased with the worker who did not even try to double what he had been given. Only those who doubled their talents would enter into the joy of their Lord and be made ruler over many things. This shows that it is not good enough just to sit on what we have been given by God. We are expected to grow and magnify the spiritual gifts we have been given if we wish to have eternal life and be part of the kingdom of God. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents, behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Finally, Jesus taught of the need to respond with compassion to others in need. Jesus showed his future return and a great dividing that would come at that time, with the division into 2 groups, the sheep and the goats. The sheep, who will inherit eternal life and be part of the kingdom of God, respond with compassion to others in need. When these people see somebody down and out on their luck, they respond with acts of kindness by doing what they can that is within their means, whether that be to provide food or clothes, welcome a new person who doesn't have friends, or to visit people in prison or hospitals. Jesus explained to these sheep that each time they responded with compassion, it was as if they were directly helping him. The goats, on the other hand, only see a need to serve Jesus and are willing to serve him in any capacity, but they lack responding with compassion to others in need when they have the means to do so. That lack of compassion for others while being willing to serve Jesus does not result in eternal life or the kingdom of God. From this, we can learn the need to respond with compassion to others in need if we wish to have eternal life and be part of the kingdom of God. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. When we focus our attention on eternal life in the kingdom of God, we can see that we become focused on this straight gate and narrow way which leads to eternal life. Leading to destruction is the wide gate and broad way, which is the preferred path of many. Some of these using the wide gate and broad way may see themselves as religious, but only those who do the will of God the Father will enter into the kingdom of God, having eternal life. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, explaining that all people die a physical death, and that through Jesus all are resurrected, highlighting an order of the resurrection with Jesus rising first and those called by God the Father who will be resurrected when the kingdom of God is established on earth. Finally, death itself is conquered. Expected of us is not to be deceived and to awake to righteousness and sin not. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communication, corrupt good manner. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. In our quest for eternal life, while we must remain on this quest for the rest of our life, there is nothing we can do to gain eternal life. Eternal life is a gift of God that we can access through grace. We have grace because we were called as sinners, not because we were righteous. We have grace because once we were no different than this world, and now we have hope of eternal life. We have grace because once we were angry like this world and focused on pleasure, and now we have peace. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Paul told the Galatians that we cannot mock God and hope to be saved. We might be able to deceive others around us, but there is no deceiving God. If we focus on that which leads to corruption, we will be corrupted and will not be part of the kingdom of God. But if we focus on that which leads to eternal life will be a gift that is given to us. Knowing we have this choice before us, we must choose eternal life. And as we live this life, we continue in doing acts of kindness, especially to those of the household of faith. Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. If we want eternal life and a place in the kingdom of God, we will do the will of God the Father, and the will of God is a stark contrast to what we see in this world. We know we are living in the end time, a broad concept of time that has existed since the time of Jesus. There are many who are Antichrist, who do not accept Jesus as the Son of God or Lord and Savior. The Apostle John shows in his first letter that those who have left the faith are Antichrist, that there are Antichrists, plural, and that their leaving was brought about so that the faithful could see they were not true to the faith. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. John adds to the definition of Antichrist, showing that those who are Antichrist deny God the Father and the Son. We must remember to acknowledge Jesus, because if we have Jesus, we also have God the Father, and this is foundational for us to have eternal life. From there, we move on to doing righteousness. Verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he had promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. Could this letter of John give us a foretaste of who the end time false prophet, the ultimate Antichrist, will be? Only time will reveal that, but in this letter of John, signs of those who are Antichrist are those who have left the faith, who deny God the Father and Jesus Christ. The letter from John serves as a reminder for us to keep the faith. And in his first letter to Timothy, Paul reminded him to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. That means we can never let go of the hope that we have for eternal life and the kingdom of God. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. If we want eternal life, and to be part of the kingdom of God, we seek a new heaven and a new earth where there will be no more death, sorrow, crying, or pain. And we will also overcome all things. We will not be overcome by the evil that is in the world, but we will overcome evil with good through faith. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Eternal life and the kingdom of God will come to all who overcome. And it is our faith that gives us the victory in overcoming. 1 John 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Jesus spoke of the resurrection to come, when the dead shall hear his voice, and the dead will once again live. Those who have done good will be part of the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil will be resurrected to damnation. John 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he shall show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, that they have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. As we look to the new heaven and new earth, eternal life and the kingdom of God, we can sometimes find ourselves wondering when all of this will happen. Whenever we sense a delay, it is God's effort to bring as many to salvation as possible. Until that time, we must live our lives so that we are found at peace, without spot, and blameless. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. The faith that we have requires us to be active participants. We cannot just have knowledge of the kingdom of God and eternal life as if it is a book on a shelf that is in need of dusting. Everything we do in our life must reflect this faith that we have. We cannot be dishonest, sneaky, or deceitful. Instead, how we live our lives should be a testament to the faith we have, where people see our faith in action long before we ever talk about it, knowing our faith centers not on us, but on Jesus Christ and God the Father. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Our faith is not based on what we do, but what Jesus Christ and God the Father are doing through us. Even when around us we see trouble, we still have Jesus and God the Father with us. There is no trouble that can overtake us and deny us eternal life, because the same God who raised up Jesus Christ will also raise us up also by Jesus. There is nothing now in this life of greater importance than eternal life and the kingdom of God. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but to the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness above all else, knowing there is nothing that we can face in the world today that is of greater importance. When we come to the kingdom of God, the new heaven and new earth, it will be a time surpassing the greatest happiness we ever experienced. We have this incredible hope that encompasses eternal life and the kingdom of God. And what a glorious and indescribable kingdom it will be. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.